Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Hugh Grant. Happy birthday to you.
Hooray!
Happy birthday, Hugh.
Happy birthday to Hugh Grant. That was potentially the worst sing-song of a happy birthday ever in the history of ever. Because unfortunately, once again, despite Oscar being in the country, we are still not together, unfortunately. And thus, we're out of time. The happy birthdays are all over the place. And though that didn't sound very sincere, our best wishes are as sincere as they can be, because today is Hugh Grant's birthday, Oscar.
It's a huge day, and it's not only just his birthday, it's his 60th birthday. He's entering his seventh decade. It's a huge moment.
September the 9th, 1960, we were graced with Hugh John Mungo Grant, the man, the myth, the legend, and it's just an absolute delight to be able to share and celebrate this wonderful day with you as well. Listener, September the 9th, 2020 now. What do you think he's doing for his 60th Oscar?
I think that he's having a little bit of a party. You know, he's a partier at heart.
He is.
And so, despite the fact that he's a bit more low-key these days, I think there is probably some kind of celebration going on. Obviously, in COVID times, it might not be as elaborate as it might have been, but I would imagine a sort of a dinner party that goes into the early hours. That's what I'm thinking.
I think you're absolutely right. I think he's opening up the garden, and that will be his idea of socially distancing. The kids will be running around. It's all nice. But by the time that the nanny has put them to bed, that's when the debauchery begins and the true Hugh Grant comes out to play.
The vintage wine gets popped.
Indeed. And by the time it's 10 a.m. on September the 10th, tomorrow morning, he will have an absolutely banging hangover. But that's just how we want it to be with Hugh Grant, and that's just how it should be.
Diggs, what do you think, what kind of presents do you think you would be graced with on this special morning?
Oh, presents. What do you get the man who has it all? That's what you've got to ask yourself. I always think with Hugh, maybe a new set of golf clubs.
A nice new driver or something.
That's exactly what we want. I mean, no one wants a wedge for their birthday. It's got to be a driver. It's got to be, a proper one.
He's probably looking at it, a golf club or, again, so maybe some vintage wine. He's probably in that kind of category. Mm. But yeah, we've sent him something special in the post as well. So hopefully he'll be getting that.
Exactly. And hopefully he enjoys it as well. The picture of me that we've enclosed in there, I think, might turn him off. But I just thought he might like that by his bedside table. Yes, maybe I'm not wearing enough clothes, but like, I don't know. I just thought, like, last minute, I just thought I'd throw it in there, see what happens.
He's going to be thrilled.
Anyway, a very special birthday, his 60th birthday, and we realised it's been six glorious decades. We're going into our seventh decade of Hugh Grant. So why not have a wonderful retrospective? Oscar and I have picked out our favourite moments from each decade Hugh Grant has graced this green earth that God has graced us with. Oscar, the decade spanning from 1960 to late 1969, what is your Hugh Grant moment? It's quite hard, this one.
It's a little tricky because considering we're going on not a lot, but I mean, it goes without saying, it's the day of his birth.
I'm so glad you chose that as well.
It's the 9th of September, 1960.
Exactly. I was thinking, is Oscar going to have a go at me for choosing his birthday? But it has to be done, doesn't it? I mean, what else are we supposed to pick for the first 9 years of his life? He didn't follow him around. I mean, I'm trying to do as much digging as I can. I'm trying to find out as much as I can about that time. But it is hard.
Well, we know he was born in West London. His family grew up in Chiswick, I believe.
One thing I did find interesting about when he was born is his mother wanted a girl, and she was going to call him Lucy. So when he came out and it was little Hugh, they thought, oh, we have to change this up. And Hugh/Huey, as he was known throughout most of his childhood, was born, a little baby boy.
Diggory, 1970s, what have you gone for here?
So this will have been when Hugh Grant was 14 years old, and he played, I don't know how to, is it Brigitta? Von Trapp, the third daughter of the Von Trapp family in a school play. Now, Hugh Grant, he says here, I wore a white dress with a blue satin sash.
And I was gorgeous, to be honest with you. And I remember my line was I had to, when I was being introduced to, I'm Brigitta, I'm 12, and all I want is a good time.
I realised this was my destiny. That was in 1974. And Hugh, when he was younger and at school, is both primary and secondary school, right up to the age of 18, played
almost exclusively lady parts. When I say lady parts, I mean parts that were feminine. To play lady parts would be weird, even by English standards.
And he loves The Sound of Music. I think it might be his favourite film, from what I can tell. Mm. So the fact that he had, this was such a big role for him, and he said he realised his destiny, without this role, would we have had the Hugh Grant we know and love today? Who knows? So for me, that's my best Hugh Grant moment of the 1970s.
Well, that's great. My favourite moment, or most important moment of the 1970s, is in a similar vein. It's, I believe, from 1979, Hugh Grant would have been a 19-year-old strapping lad at Oxford University.
Yes.
And I believe that was the year that he joined the Oxford University Dramatic Society. And of course, that was the beginning, really, of the actual stardom. You know, he from there, he got his first ever role in Privileged, which I think was in 1982. Again, that was the point where he started getting a few gigs. He started becoming a bit known on the circuit. So without that decision as a fresher, wouldn't have got the Hugh Grant we know if he hadn't taken that decision.
Indeed, indeed. Interesting that we've both chosen formative moments there, things that will have shaped the career of him that we know and love him for as well. So, Oscar, the 1980s, I wonder whether we will have a similar one here. I'm gonna put you on the spot, but no worries if you can't. Can you guess what I'm going to say? Because I'll tell you now, it's a role of his.
I think you're going to say his role in The Lair of the White Worm.
He got it in one.
And can you guess what mine was?
Was it his role in The Lair of the White Worm?
It was, mate. We're on the same page.
Ken Russell's The Lair of the White Worm, starring Sammy Davis of Hope and Glory, Amanda Donahoe, and Hugh Grant of Maurice. Variety calls it an original, fun-filled nightmare. And Stuart Klein of Fox Channel 5 says, it's droll, kinky, fun, see it. Slither into a labyrinth of terror and fun with the master of the bizarre, Ken Russell's The Lair of the White Worm.
This honestly might be the pinnacle of Hugh's career and the peak of his career. The role of Lord Dampton in The Lair of the White Worm, 1988. Bizarre, brilliant, funny, a delight to watch. Horror, thriller, with Peter Capaldi and Hugh Grant. It's just absolutely the dodgiest special effects.
Some of the worst CGI you've ever seen in your life.
And some of the craziest, most psychedelic scenes ever. A weird sexual theme throughout. It's completely bizarre and completely brilliant. But why did you pick this for the 1980s?
You hit the nail on the head, really. It's just such an iconic film in his filmography, I think. And actually one himself, when people ask him, you know, what's a film that you should go and watch that I haven't watched of yours? And he normally says The Lair of the White Worm, I think, just because it's so wacky and it's so out there.
Oh, and it's so cool that he's done it. I just love that, because we did it so early on when we reviewed it for the podcast. And I'm so glad that we did, because, you know, what was that, episode 2? And I remember just thinking, yeah, we've made the right decision here. This guy has such a good career, such a varied career.
It was great validation for the podcast that, you know.
Exactly.
So Diggs, the 1990s, the decade of Britpop, the decade of Italian 90. So many things happened in the 1990s. We were born in the 1990s. What have you picked?
This is a hard one, because I think from the 1990s onwards, we were speaking about this before, we didn't tell each other what we picked, but, you know, it's hard. From this point onwards, we've got, you know, some really, really good films. We've got some really great moments. I think for me, I'm going to go with winning the Golden Globe for Best Actor in Four Weddings and a Funeral in 1994.
You're supposed to think that, you know, awards are invidious and things like that, but I think they're heaven, and this is right up my alley.
The role of Charles in Four Weddings and a Funeral, as we know, sent his career into the stratospheric realms. He had a great partnership with writer Richard Curtis. He played it brilliantly. And I think winning that Golden Globe, whether he would say this or not, I don't know. But I think it does give this validation to him as an actor. And it's one of those things that you sort of cling on to. And it's such a shame it came so early in his career, because I think there's things since that maybe have deserved it more. Mm. But I just like to point to that and go, you know what, mate? You smashed it. You are a good actor in your own right, and no one can take that award away from you. Well done. What about yourself from the 90s?
That's amazing. Mine is also a moment from 1994, which is definitely more controversial, but is equally a very important moment in his career. And it's also arguably an extremely large moment of sort of British popular culture of the 1990s. And that is the 1994 Four Weddings and Funeral premiere, where Liz Hurley, his girlfriend at the time, turned up in the famous safety pin dress, which, by the way, has its own Wikipedia page. It was that big a deal.
No way. That's incredible, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. I was in America last week promoting this, and everybody said, you know, your dress has had its 20th birthday. I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, it's bizarre.
It propelled Liz Hurley from a nobody to stardom. In fact, actually, before the premiere, both Hugh and her weren't particularly well known.
Indeed.
And apparently Liz Hurley asked a load of fashion designers to let her wear one of her outfits. And they all said no, apart from Versace, the designer who the dress was made by. And I think that was the boundary, obviously, between Hugh being a bit of a nobody to being a bit of a superstar. After that, his life must have changed completely. And, you know, that was when the tabloids started following him the whole time. So that has to be said, it was a huge turning point in his career and a very special moment.
It's funny, that was such a moment that I considered as well. It is iconic because, you know, you can have good films and stuff, but the press and the public might not take an interest. And that, particularly that dress, is a nice symbol of that switch and that change. Such an iconic moment. It's a great one to choose.
Mm.
So, for the 2000s, another hard, hard decade to choose a greatest moment from. Oscar, what are you going for?
Really is a hard decade to choose from, Diggs, because this is probably Hugh Grant's most prolific decade in terms of all these amazing films that he was in. I'm going to go with, it may be obvious, but I'm going to go with that dance scene in Love Actually.
Yes, yes.
It's got
so
to be
up there.
Yeah, Mary, I've been thinking. Can we move the Japanese ambassador to 4 o'clock tomorrow?
Certainly, sir.
Terrific. Thanks so much.
And my reason for it doing so is this. I think up until that point, you know, people did mock him a bit, and probably, you know, he was a bit of a posh boy who, you know, got lucky in film. That's what people thought. But I think that was the moment where people actually saw, you know what? This guy's got a sense of humor. He's happy to take the piss out of himself. He's happy to put his reputation on the line. There are problems with the film, but it's a brilliant film.
In its own way.
People think about Love Actually and Christmas. They think about Christmas and they think about Hugh Grant. So that for me is, you know, it says it all. What did you pick?
I thought about that. There's so many good roles as well. Daniel Cleaver in the Bridget Jones movies, about a boy. I will say again, I think that's such a good film and such a good performance. But funnily enough, again, we were speaking earlier and you reminded me, because you've made a Spotify playlist of all the best Hugh Grant and Hugh Grant related music, which, guys, go check it out. What's it called, Oscar?
It's called the Ultimate Taking Hugh for Granted playlist.
Fantastic. And that's on Spotify. Check that out. We'll obviously tweet about it and stuff. But my best moment, again, similar to yours is a dance one, mine's dancing and musical as well. Pop Goes My Heart and the intro to Music and Lyrics in 2007. I said I wasn't gonna lose my head, but then pop goes my heart. It's just the most amazing opening to a film I've ever seen in my entire life. It beats Inglourious Basterds. It beats Saving Private Ryan. It is so ridiculous and so over the top and so brilliant. And Hugh, like you say in Love Actually, relentlessly takes a piss out of himself in this amazing music video for Pop Goes My Heart. Incredible. So, so good. So that was my moment. I just had to, because I think I sing Pop Goes My Heart all the time to myself, and I just have to choose that as my personal favourite moment.
I'm really glad you picked that, and it is on Spotify. So if you haven't listened to it, you've got no excuse now.
Exactly. You're missing out. Okay, the final decade of the six that we've had so far, 2010 to 2019. Oscar, what have you got for me?
I've got 2011, and I mean, it's been part of Hugh's 2010s, really, but I think it is got to be Hugh Grant taking on the tabloid press, the Hacked Off Hugh campaign.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's brilliant. It's brave, it's brilliant, and something had to be done. And I love how Hugh's just, he's got to that stage of his career where he doesn't have to just be an actor, and he's put his energy into something else. And he's raised awareness and taken these tabloids to town. Mm. I think that's got to be a really important moment in his career.
It was because of your outcry that the Leveson inquiry happened in the first place. And it's only with renewed outcry that we can make sure the job's finished. So please go to hackinginquiry.org to take action today.
My moment is very, very, very similar. On August 28th, 2019, Hugh Grant tweeted the following. You will not fuck with my children's future. You will not destroy the freedoms my grandfather fought two world wars to defend. Fuck off, you overpromoted rubber bath toy. Britain is revolted by you and your little gang of masturbatory prefects. That was a tweet about our now, at the moment, Prime Minister Boris Johnson. And this tweet went viral. 358,000 likes, almost 100,000 retweets, and 20,000 replies. Everyone was talking about it. I remember here we were planning this podcast, taking you for granted, around that time, like August in 2019. And I remember hearing people talking about it on the street, and I thought I should go up and ask them what they think about Hugh Grant and ask them what they think about this. It was a big moment, and I think he wants to make a difference. And through this very inflammatory tweet. Maybe he will one day, who knows?
Excellent.
And now we're here, back at the present. I will ask you one question, Oscar. 2020 to the future, do you think there's a Hugh Grant moment coming up that you are excited to see?
Well, I'm obviously extremely excited for the Nicole Kidman HBO The Undoing show. That's going to be very exciting.
Mm.
But who knows what's going to happen in the next 10 years? If I was to predict something, I would say that Hugh is going to star in one or two more animated films. I can see him doing voice acting more.
And yeah, for sure.
I really hope that maybe he could become the face of a franchise of, like, you know, a Toy Story equivalent. That would be so epic.
That would be so cool. That would be amazing. He was the voice of, like, yeah,
of Woody or something, you know, equivalent.
That would be so great.
How about you? Have you got any bold predictions or anything you'd like to see in the next decade?
My bold prediction is the best moment in Hugh's career, 2020 onwards, will be his interview with us.
Yes.
Here on this podcast, and I will not rest until it happens. I will not rest until it happens. Oscar, I've got one more last question for you. How are you going to celebrate today? How are you going to celebrate his birthday? Obviously, we can't celebrate it together, unfortunately.
I might do a bit of a Hugh Grant marathon, you know?
Yeah, why not?
Might do some back-to-back films. Maybe chuck on some of those. Maybe one or two we haven't watched, but it would be it could be also a good time to revisit the classics, you know? 60 years of Hugh Grant.
I think I'm going to go and get a birthday cake. I know that's really silly, but I actually don't eat cake, really. This is a fantastic excuse. I'm going to buy a cake. I'm going to go home. I'm going to stick it.
Mate, what you should do is you should go home, get the cake, get one of those caterpillar cakes, take the tube down to Fulham Broadway, walk around Fulham singing happy birthday, and hopefully someone will direct you to his door.
There you go, fantastic. And then he'll open the door and go, oh, hello. And I'll be like, will you do an interview with us now, please?
I bought you a cake.
Exactly, and he'll be like, oh, I've just, sorry.
I'm hungover, sorry, goodbye.
Were you the boy who sent me a picture of himself naked in the post for my birthday? And I'll be like, less about that, Hugh. Let's get me inside. Anyway, big happy birthday to Hugh Grant. An absolute pleasure looking back at your life, and I'm very much looking forward to looking at it for many, many more years to come.
Happy birthday, Hugh.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
This is the end of Hugh's News. We hope you feel very informed. Hugh's News. About Hugh Grant. Hugh's News. And everything is very Hugh's News. time to say goodbye. Goodbye.
Hughes News is a Taking Hugh for Granted production and is produced, edited and presented by Diggory Waite and Oscar Beardmore Gray. The producers of Taking Hugh for Granted would like to state that this podcast is in no way associated with the actor Hugh John Mungo Grant, nor does it endorse his views or represent him in any way. Instead, by creating this podcast, Oscar and Diggory hope to celebrate Hugh's illustrious career, reliving his old classics and shedding light on some of his hidden gems. Hugh, if you're listening, we hope you approve.